This is the Kestrel Country Podcast, where we discuss the people, places, and events all around Kestrel Country.
Welcome to the Kestrel Country Podcast. I'm Catherine Church. On today's episode, we have Crystal Comis from The Coffee Truck, and interviewing alongside me is Jen Bunch. But we pushed the release date of this podcast from September 4th to September 5th because her grand opening got pushed. So if you are wanting to swing by her coffee truck, it is happening September 5th, starting at 7 a.m. In the meantime, enjoy the episode. Crystal Comis, thank you so much for joining us on the Kestrel Country Podcast.
We're going to have to do a take two. We never have to do a take two.
Crystal, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We're glad you could come, despite all of it. So, I want to give a little...
Never get professional.
Doesn't need to be professional. Yeah.
Okay.
But we wanted to have Crystal on because she's launching her coffee truck on Monday.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll back it up and rewind a little bit and tell us, how did you get to Moscow?
Well, we came like 20 years ago and Chris did school. And then we left. We were here for like 6 years. Went back to Seattle, where we're from. And then Chris did ministry around Seattle, Tacoma, a couple places. And then when the kids were teenagers, he was in a pastorate and he decided that he needed to be finished there and wanted to settle the family and not do any more ministry. So we came here in 2018. So we've been back ever since.
Yeah.
So what is it?
Man, it's 2021. 5 years? That's amazing.
I know.
So before COVID, before we got a big influx of people in Moscow.
Yeah.
You guys kind of led the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get into this love of coffee?
I started doing it just out of necessity when I was in my later teens. So, you know, Seattle, Everybody's been a barista. Mm-hmm. So back, actually, when I started, Starbucks wasn't quite the thing it is now. So Originally, Starbucks was this cute little shop down in Pike Place. There's a couple guys that owned it. Really good coffee. Really good coffee. And then I don't know how they went into the big thing they are now. I think that they sold, though. Mm-hmm. But it was really... became a really big thing to do really fine coffee. And there's a lot of small stores, not a ton of chains. And so when I started doing coffee, they were really, it was funny. It was like a whole culture. Like they were, we used to call it milk Nazis to our bosses who would do like 2 weeks of milk training.
For the foam.
And yell at you when you did it badly and slam it on the counter and it would fly everywhere and embarrass you in front of customers. But it was just a thing. And then once you were trained, you would watch them do it with other people and just laugh. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was a real culture. So, I mean, it was funny too, because if you didn't want to do the hard work of being a server, you would be a barista because you could make like $100 in 5 hours in tips. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did in college. And then.
So you did college in Seattle too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to think. I did a lot of jobs. I was a florist for a while too.
I know we've done flowers together. You're a very creative talented. I know.
So then when Chris and I were dating, I started working at a bakery to train their baristas. So at first I was just doing coffee. And then she was like, "Do you want to bake for me?" So I was like, "Sure." So she trained me to bake. But it was like one of those jobs, 3:30 in the morning. I hated it. And I loved the baking.
Yeah.
And I loved the quiet.
But the hours are
But
fine.
I hated the hours. We were engaged and Chris would come to pick me up because I was riding my bike. I'm in Seattle. I grew up pretty independently. And so I'd ride my bike at like 3 a.m. And
he's
no, you don't. So he would come to pick me up. And half the time I'd still be sleeping. And he'd be knocking on my window. You got to go. So, I did love baking, but it was not something I ever thought I'd do again, I'll be honest. But coffee I've always just loved, and I know it seems silly. It seems really silly to say this, but I have always thought, like, why is my coffee so good? Like, I'm not that big of a, like a coffee entrepreneur who's traveled the world and knows beans. I know people like that. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. And they really do. There's a guy that I know who works in Tacoma and he's amazing. It's my favorite coffee ever.
Where is it?
I don't know if I should say.
Oh, okay.
So
we won't.
I won't say because my family will laugh. We just went back and it's my favorite place. We always go there. And they have, the owner has a new roaster now. If I say this out loud,
I'm you don't
sure
have
we'll
to
never get back to them. It just
so don't worry then.
Makes
don't
me
say
laugh.
It.
But he's like, he is a chemist with beans. Mm-hmm. He's traveled. He found the place he wanted to get them from. And he makes these recipes. And it was really like, it was him that made me think like, wow, there's like a whole world to espresso. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's coffee. We're talking about coffee, right?
Right.
We're not talking about like changing the world. But I just was always really enthralled by it. But I wasn't that person. Yeah. But I wanted those people, like if I ever did coffee, I want to get it from this guy. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he still runs the company. It's very tiny. They only do coffee. They're hilarious. They're snotty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They do not love the Lord. And during COVID, they were real Nazis. But this guy, he's so gifted. It was always okay for them to be snotty because their coffee was so good. Mm-hmm. But then they have a new guy roasting for them and he is just not that good. I was so disappointed. My heart cried.
Oh, I'm sure. There.
Anyway.
Yeah, so where do you get your beans? Are you roasting?
I'm so excited. So I did the market that's over in Troy.
The Leta market.
And kind of working the kinks out of the truck, trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. And then training some people too, so that we'd be ready to actually have something going more consistently, more busy. So at that market, there was this gentleman, his name's Orrin Schmidt, and he lives up in Potlatch, and he was selling coffee. And ends up, he's a roaster, came over, met me, brought me a bag of beans. And I'm trying to remember what it was called. It was like Wandering Moose, Meandering Moose.
That sounds like an Idaho.
So yes. I know.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. And I took it home and I tried it like 2 weeks later. He came over to see the next week. I still hadn't tried it.
Oh, no.
Felt a little guilty.
Oh, no.
It smelled good.
Yeah.
But I am really particular about what I like. Mm-hmm. And like there are people in town who are really into their coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name any names. Mm-hmm. I hate their coffee.
Oh, no.
Like, there's some coffee in town where like I've gotten it. So gross. I throw it away. I tried again just to not be too snotty because my kids think I'm a little snotty.
Well, it might be in the coffee culture here.
And right? I drink it and I'm like, this tastes like a flower. So I throw it away. Anyways, so I was kind of hesitant to try it. But when I finally did, I thought it was so good. I was really surprised. So we started talking. And the more I was at market, the more we talked, I was like, I'm interested in this guy. I'm interested in what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And so we had a meeting and he concocted a blend for me for the coffee truck. And we are still fine tuning it. Mm-hmm. He is going to order in some more beans from like Peru and a couple places because there's some elements I'm looking for that we couldn't quite get to. But so he's going to make my own blend and then I get to sell it at the coffee truck for him. That's I'm amazing. So
How
excited.
Neat. So crazy local then. So you've got your Potlatch beans.
He's just in Potlatch. Yeah. We were going to work with some friends that we've known for years down in Joseph, but that's a long drive. Mm-hmm. So this was really, I was very excited about this.
That's really, really fun. So, okay. So you figured out your beans, but, and that made me think of something. Didn't you lose your taste with COVID?
I don't smell things very well. Things don't smell accurate. And then if I do smell things, it's funny, you know, it's so sweet. I can smell my kids when I hug them. I can smell them, but there's a lot of things I cannot smell at all, or they smell really gross.
Yeah. How have you overcome that with the coffee?
I pray.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. It's silly. I do. I pray all the time. Like, I know this is a simple thing, but not having it is really surprising I can't smell when my house is on fire. Wow. Like, we've had things light on fire on the stove and I can't smell it. Mm-hmm. Kids are like, Mom, something's burning. I'm like, what? So yeah. but this is one thing that has changed that I didn't have before quite so much was my sensitivity to texture is huge, which has really helped with the croissants.
I'm sure.
Like, it's made my desire for something really particular. Yeah. I can actually taste it if I don't like it. I can feel it in my mouth. Isn't that weird?
So it's kind of like if you were to lose your eyesight and your hearing.
Yeah, and I never thought about that before. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but it stinks. Okay. Not literally.
But not. Yes.
That's my
joke. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Okay, so you've started the coffee truck. How did that come about? You remodeled this whole trailer. Of this has been a labor of love.
You know, I was afraid you were going to ask me that, and I was like, how am I going to answer this question?
Because so, it kind of like, so where did you land on, I'm going to launch a coffee truck.
Okay, so like we've always talked, my husband and I have always talked about doing something, right? He loves books. He's a big reader, theology, everything. He just loves to study. And so we always thought, wouldn't it be so fun to have a coffee shop, flower store, bakery, bookstore? Mm-hmm. Probably like, you know, I don't know, 20 other people in this town have thought about. And and then being friends with people who have owned various bookstores and coffee shops and stuff, we're just like, a lot of work, not super profitable, mm-hmm. a lot of conflict. And then we looked at rents in town, and they're so expensive in Moscow. They're so expensive. And then I kind of just stumbled across this idea. I can't remember where I saw it. It must have been maybe on a Pinterest thing. But I saw some people taking campers and turning them into coffee trucks in the UK and in Australia. And I couldn't find anything here, though I have since heard of people doing it. But I thought, you know, I could do that. And I have a proclivity for building things. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit unusual for girls, but it means, mm-hmm. but in our house, if the doorknob's broken, you don't ask dad to fix it. You ask mom because dad'll fix it 3 times and make it worse. I don't know. I almost feel bad saying that, but it's really true. Like when London was a baby, I wanted one of those convertible cribs that you pull up to the bed, mm-hmm. but I couldn't afford them. They were like $400 or $500.
Yeah.
And so I made one.
Oh, nice.
I was like, oh my goodness, look what I did.
Yay.
And I think a lot of it is just necessity. Like mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with money. If we wanted things, we needed to figure out how to make them happen or build them or whatever. And so when I had this idea, I was like, I could take a trailer and I could probably outfit it. And so I started looking, and what I realized was in the craze of tiny houses,
yeah,
these were not cheap.
Everybody wants
one now. I found like a junker. Cute little Aloha, like 10 feet long for $10,000.
Oh.
And it was junk.
Wow. Like, no, my word.
And the picture, it was waterlogged inside, stained everywhere. Oh, man. And I'm thinking, really? And so I kept my eye out for a few weeks, and I couldn't find anything under 15 feet that wasn't over a few thousand dollars. Mm. And Chris and I were talking about it. He's like, just keep looking, you know. So at the time, so this is like coming off of.
Was this pre-COVID, post-COVID?
I'm trying to think. Okay, so this is, I bought it over 2 years ago. We're 2023.
So 21.
Yeah, so it's post-COVID. Yeah, yeah.
When they would have been probably super popular if people were, you know, doing stuff on
everyone
downtime.
Was mobile now.
Okay, so like I am only saying this because I know you guys. Like if you were strangers, I probably wouldn't even say this. But I was coming off of our son dying, and I was really like kind of, you know, doing my work, loving my family, and at the same time thinking, God, you have got to fill my hands. Like I need to be doing good things or I am going to crack. So I think during that 2021, Killian had gone into school. I'm trying to think if she was in preschool by that time. I can't even remember. This is such a blur. Mm-hmm. So this is so funny. I'm sorry. My kids are watching Saturday morning cartoons and sitting with them on the couch. I'm praying about this. I'm like, Lord, I can't find anything. I really feel like I should try to pursue something. And if you want me to do this, just make it really obvious, you know, that kind of a prayer. I did grow up charismatic, just so you know. And so I get on Facebook Marketplace and boom, right there. 20 seconds ago was posted this camper that had been turned into a taco truck. And if you know me, my favorite color is aqua, and it was aqua inside. I was like, huh. And it was $3,000, which is a lot. Like I thought I was going to pull something off the side of the road because I'm a total dumpster diver. So that's what I thought I'd do. And I thought, okay, the real test is obviously going to be if I can get this. So I'd call on others and they'd be like, sorry, you're the 12th person to call. Man. And we already have it up to $12,000 if you'd like to put in your offer. No, good, thanks. Yeah. And so I called the lady. I was the first person to call and I needed to see if my husband was okay with this. She's like, well, you'd have to come get it in the next like 24 hours. And it's in Oregon. I'm like, okay, the real test is going to be, is my husband willing to do this?
Right.
Okay, so little clincher. It's Easter Eve. So it's like 11 o'clock the day before Easter. We've got 22 people coming the next day for dinner. So I'm like, hey, sweetie, I found this trailer. What do you think? And he's like, sure, let's get it. And I was like, okay. She says you have to go get it within 24 hours. She's like, you know. Okay. Some women have husbands that are like that. Like, oh, sure, honey. Yeah. I'm going to go grab this Craigslist listing for you. And I have a friend whose husband is constantly grabbing her stuff for her. And Chris is really busy. And so I knew that if he said yes, that was because the Lord was moving him to do so. Right. And he was so casual about it. Like, yeah, Leah, I'll grab Leah. We'll just drive over there. I was like, okay. So they did. And they came home at 5 in the morning on Easter with this cute little trailer. Wow. So cute.
Yes.
Yeah, so cute. Until I opened it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was really cute, but they had covered it in like galvanized roofing to make it look really cute. Because this is why you don't buy things off the internet without going and looking at them. But actually, I bought it thinking, okay, it has a brand new fridge, a brand new stove, an electrical system, a plumbing system, and a 3-compartment sink. At the very least, I could take all that out and use it for something else.
Right, so you'd still have those items.
And that would probably be about my $3,000 mark. Yeah. And so I think I talked Chris into it by saying that, I'm pretty sure.
The value is here.
Yeah. So we did get it, though, and I didn't touch it because I was busy for Easter. But then on Monday, I opened up one of the walls, and it was just, if I had known what I was getting into. But the Lord sure did fill my hands. Careful what you ask for.
Well, I do think that's the case with a lot of things. It's like, if you know how hard something is at the front end, you probably wouldn't do it. Yeah. But that's kind of the benefit and the flip side, you know, the adventure, the hard work is part of the adventure.
Yeah. It's something that I've come to, I don't know, grow in my understanding over the last few years is there is a lot of really, really hard work to be done.
Yes.
And we just don't want to do it because it is really hard. Mm-hmm. Like it is, I have not worked this hard in my life.
Yeah.
And not just on the trailer. I mean, I have a whole family, 6 right. kids. We're busy. We're just, we have a really busy life. And then to throw this into it is hilarious. But nonetheless, I'm always coming back to the point of like this, there's nothing better I could be doing. Mm-hmm. I should be doing this kind of stuff. This is good for me. It doesn't matter if it hurts. I'm tired. My knees hurt. My back hurts. I have to go to the chiropractor more often than I want to. Yeah. It's really good for me to be doing it. But I will often ask myself, why are you doing this?
Yes.
You know, Marcel, you don't need to do this. It's sell it.
Yeah.
Go make $30,000 and go sell your little trailer.
Well, it's a good backup if you ever needed it.
I know. But, you know, honestly, like having my kids work with me, I've been training Talis this last summer to work with me. And then I have a couple ladies coming on. I like the fellowship. I like what it produces. This opportunity to get to teach my own kids in particular.
Right.
And give them a venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And be like, hey, you want to take it over?
Well, and I don't think there's anything like the camaraderie you get through work.
Yes.
That side by side, shoulder to shoulder. For
a way better relationship and a lot less vanity in the relationship or downtime where it can lead to strife that's unnecessary.
Right.
But if you're busy working and you've got a goal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If for our family, we're all like super talkative and it's really good for us to have like a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A mission. To focus on. It's the mission. Yeah. Sure. So you launched the coffee truck. So 2 years. So you had to strip it down to bare bones.
It's, of course, we're doing something that I've never done this before.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But if you are willing to go through YouTube University, you can build a tower.
Yes.
You can.
It's all there.
You can do a new car. It's amazing. So there's so many stories. I went to the guy in town who owns the RV store. He has since sold it. That jerk. But, and he came over and he just laughed at me. He's like, okay, well, this is what you should do. And he runs me through like an hour of suggestions of where I should start and what I'm going to need. And then he gets to the end of it. And he's like, you know what? Forget what I just said. Just scrap it. Forget. You just need to tear this thing apart. Use it like a pattern. Build something new.
Wow.
I was like, oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
I have really gotten myself into it. And so that's what I did.
Wow.
I just, And then it was just, okay, I've got to do framing. Gee, how do you do that? I don't know. I'm going to
YouTube
watch some videos. Okay, now I'm going to go frame something. So that's why it's taking me 2 years, because then I'm also like in the wintertime, I'm like, oh, it's too cold to go work out there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yes. So, and life, there's been months where I just haven't done anything because we've been either too busy, too cold, too hot, whatever.
Yep.
And so it's had to kind of fit in the cracks of my life. So it's taken this long to do it. Mm-hmm. And this year at the market, I took it down there. It had no skin on. So it has no skin on today. Mm-hmm. Yes, I will be open on Monday, but today it has no skin on. Don't tell my electrician who is coming tomorrow, because the skin has to be on for him to do his work.
Oh, man.
But that's just how it's been. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I need to work out the kinks. I'm just going to go do market and pray to God it doesn't rain, because then it will warp all the wood.
Oh.
And it did rain one time and it dried and I had to fix some. Curbing is when you take a bunch of really thin plywood and you cut it into strips and then you stack it on each other. And then that's how you make framing for a curve. Mm-hmm. And it warped. Totally warped. No. Had to take it out.
Oh,
and,
you know,
and that's like been the whole job. There's a wall I put up. It's super cute. Yep. Looks really good in pictures. And I'm on my third round of putting it up, because the heat and the cold, it wants to bubble off. And it's just, the whole thing is a joke. It's hilarious.
It's a learning experience.
It is.
The whole thing.
Such an experience.
So, okay, tell us a little bit about the baked goods side too. Yeah. So you mentioned teaching at a bakery, starting with coffee.
I was training people to be barista, and then the baker office. Yes. She was like, would you like to take my 3 o'clock in the morning shift?
How about that?
That'd be great. I'll train you for my sippers.
So this love of baking, was it an automatic love, or is this more of a necessity because we're selling coffee, so we need to have baked goods to go with it?
No, I grew up with in a Scandinavian kind of culture, and we did not do Scandinavian food, thank God, but we did do Scandinavian baked goods. And so krumkaka it's called Hardanger lefse. It's different than potato lefse for those who eat that tortilla weirdness. Mm-hmm. But just a lot of baking and baking with my mom. Good memories. Loved it. And I love being in the kitchen. Like it's one of the things I love being a mom. I love cooking for my kids. Mm-hmm. I love baking stuff. I like baking with them. And so, that was just something I enjoyed doing. She taught me to do it. I had the ability to do it. It was great. Never really thought much of it later. And then I like to bake with the kids. And I'm capable. I can do a lot of stuff. And so we've had weird things where like the church will be like, hey, could you make us 500 truffles? That'd be great. Thanks. And so I'll get a crew of people and we'll make 500 truffles.
Yep.
And then my daughter will fall in love with the process and become a chocolatier. So like that kind of stuff.
Which is so great.
That's what I like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love being the one that can introduce a bunch of things to my kids and then they can take something and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did think that was what was going to happen here. I'm like, so who's going to be my bread maker? Because I don't want to do it. But COVID came and I was like, you know what? I have never been able to make croissants. I am going to master croissants. And no, I did not master croissants. I mastered like little tiny bricks of burned
butter,
flaky, crusty, gross. It was gross. It was bad. And I did it over and over. And, you know, it takes like 3-4 days to make croissants.
Oh, man.
And so my kids are just laughing. They're like, Mom, you burned them again. It just did not work. So I did not master anything. And then I started reading a bunch of books on like Julia Childs. And I was like, I can do this. I can bake other stuff. I'm a good baker. I can do cakes, all kinds of stuff. And we used to watch the British baking show, me and the kids together. And then it would like inspire us to go make crazy things we'd never made before.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I could not get croissants. And then, so I was very, I don't like being conquered. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And so I basically like watched, I don't know, hundreds of hours of masterclasses and tutorials and like French chefs where I have to read the subtitles because I don't speak French.
Mm-hmm.
And then simultaneously, so funny, Peyton knew some people that were helping to start up the bookstore in town and they wanted baked goods, but they couldn't make their own. And they're like, hey, Mom, you want to bake baked goods for them? And I had kind of been doing it. So I started doing a fair twice a year. So I'd go and do the coffee and kind of, it was like a testing ground. Like at first London did it and I wasn't really interested in doing it. We have a really cool machine at home and she would take it and do it. And my husband's like, why don't you do it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so I did it 1 year and I did baked goods and people were like, those are so good. You know, so I thought, thought, well, I don't know, maybe I could do something. And that kind of built into this. So it was just doing it a couple times a year and then getting the cart. And it was, it really, I feel like this is not necessarily something I have chosen and grown, even though it might look like it. Mm-hmm. I really do feel like the Lord tricked me and made me do this. That's what I feel like.
Chased
I'm not
you down.
Kidding. Like, really. And that this simultaneously, and it's been so much work, but simultaneously, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is so good for me. Mm-hmm. This is such a loving thing for God to do to me. Mm-hmm. And he did do it to me. Do not be mistaken. I'm not the master planner here. And it really has been like that. Like just kind of building up and little things falling in my lap. And that property that you knew I was just dreaming over, like wanted, and then they were going to sell it. Yep. And then they wanted to sell it for too much. And then it went away. And anyways, landing there was kind of, it's funny. It's just this little spot that I've wanted and I'd love to buy
amazing.
It.
Oh, I know.
And I'd love to spot. Build a bakery there, but who knows? I don't know what will happen.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't remember where we're at. Oh, baked goods. Okay. Yep. So I did eventually start making croissants.
Okay. So what was, did you figure out your problem? Like, was there one problem?
I mean, I just remember not even knowing. I don't understand this folding thing. And envelope? What? A book? What are we? Library? It was just.
At least you didn't put actual pages from a book in there, right?
I mean, I'm not as good at reading stuff and then replicating it. I'm better at seeing it. And if I see it, I can actually usually do it pretty fast.
There you go.
No. I don't know why. It did take a long time for me to figure it out. Now that I'm looking back, I just really didn't get it. I didn't get the laminating process. I didn't understand how finicky croissants are to temperature, rising. Rising was a big thing. That was actually a huge thing. But over doing it a bunch, I started realizing where my problems were. And then when I started selling to the bookstore in town, I'm trying to remember if I started with croissants. I did muffins. Like I've done breads and muffins and things like that for quite a while. I'm very comfortable there. I've crafted my own recipes. I'm very particular about what I want, what I'm looking for. And then I don't try to do 15 things. I try to do 6 things really well.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. And so when I started doing the croissants, I was nervous. And so I sold them for less than what I thought people would normally sell them for. Cause I was like, in case they are not good. And I remember them selling the second week. The first week they turned out pretty well. The second week, I was sick to my stomach. I was so sick to my stomach. I couldn't believe I was giving them these croissants to sell. And I had people call me and be like, these are so good. And I'm thinking, no, they're not. You're crazy. I mean, there's just, we had a place in Tacoma
so
called
funny.
Legendary Donuts where they made you a Happy Meal that was a donut. But it had fries. A hamburger, but it was actually all donut, the whole thing. They had like the twisty donuts or like the maple bars. They were like this big.
Oh my word. That's crazy.
Very awesome. Anyway, so we come from that. And so to come here where everything just blah, you know.
It's not totally true.
But it lessened my inhibition. I was like, okay, you know what? If people think those croissants are good,
then
I can only go up.
Well, Jen is very particular about her croissants,
yes,
too.
Yes, of course. So, and if you had tried those, you'd have been like, not so much, Crystal.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no, you would have been. I promise. Oh, but the third week, there's little things that I discovered and changed. And I remember everything rising so well. They look like these giant croissants. And I was like, the Lord is present. That's what I felt like.
Risen.
I really did. He has risen. He has risen indeed. So it was a process and I'm still fine tuning some things, but I mean, now they're really, really good.
Nice.
I like them.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, there's also things I don't like. I do make the best almond croissants ever.
I've got to try these.
You really should.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't bring you an almond one. I only brought
you
ham and cheese and chocolate.
Which we will enjoy very much later.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I'm just doing it. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants doing it. I'm very unpolished. When you see my cart, you'll die laughing. Yeah. I will be pulling it up. I will be serving coffee and dessert for very limited hours.
Yeah, well, tell
very
us,
limited days.
So explain when you will be there.
Okay, so I'll start on Monday the 4th, Labor Day.
Okay.
And I probably will, I actually will not have the same hours on Monday as I will the rest of the week. And that's only because I know things are going to be really bumpy in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start at 8. Mm-hmm. I'm going to serve till 11.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a croissant, you've got 3 hours.
How many croissants are you bringing day one?
I don't know.
You know, okay. So you guys have to get there. in order to get the croissants.
Yeah. So there'll be blueberry muffins and cinnamon rolls and stuff, but the croissants are definitely
the
bigger hit.
The thing the
bigger
you want to go for.
Mm-hmm. And then we make our own syrups and stuff.
For your
crotch? I say we. I do it.
Okay. Uh-huh. But you've got...
There'll be we up.
You will have a crew of people.
Yeah.
Helping.
So we'll start Monday at 8. We'll be there till 11. And then after that, our hours will be Monday through Thursday from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Okay. That's it. Okay. And I have no doubt everybody has their opinion, but that is all I'm doing because I like my kids more than I like working. So,
and that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of sports and I like to be there. So, and
is it going to be a drive through? Nope. Do you park and walk up?
Nope. It's going to be so inconvenient for everyone. So you are going to have to work. Show that you really, really want this.
I want it to be there.
It's going
to
be a maze. No, it's just this. It is like this gravel little lot. And I'll have some parking. And I'll have a couple tables. And you will have to walk up. Mm-hmm. And it maybe, I don't know. We'll have to see. This is a really temporary space, too. If he sells it,
right then,
I'm out of luck.
So, and you need to explain where people find you, too.
Okay, so it's on A and Almond. Mm-hmm. And
right by the smokestack and the barley flax.
It's not a smokestack. It is a steam stack.
Sorry, steam stack.
Steam stack.
People.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, the brick circular steam stack.
A steam stack.
Yeah, that cute little brick building they ripped down. And it's still like that. It's still a mm-hmm. site that looks like it's been demoed. So we just start cleaning up a space, an area of it. They're leasing it to us on a month-to-month basis. So we'll see. Yeah. So who knows? I'm not stuck to a plan. This is just
it's a flexible
plan for this week.
Which is really fun.
Yeah.
So Labor Day.
Yeah, so Labor Day. So we'll have coffee. Like I said, we're going to have new beans from, I think they're called, I'm trying to remember.
But it will be the potlatch beans.
It is. And it's, okay. I think they're called Cabin Roaster. I can't remember because mm-hmm. I just talked to him and remember his name. But we'll have that bean, but we won't be selling it yet because we're still refining it before we make our own packaging and
get those for sale. But that's what you'll be using for
that
the coffee.
That is what we'll be using. And then we have our own syrups and we're really, I'm not trying to be, I know it might seem like I'm being hoity-toity by only having like a certain amount of syrups and a certain amount of baked goods. It really is just, I'm doing this in a way where I can have a family and I can be a good mother and not sin against everybody all over the place because I'm so stressed out trying to run a business.
Right.
So I'm keeping everything pretty simple and pretty small.
And well, I'm doing a few things well. Yeah. It's fantastic.
And then we'll just do that consistently until it feels like that's not a big deal and we can do a little bit more. So
what is your recommended drink of choice?
Mm. The Valencia.
Ooh, which is?
Oh, tell us.
So the Valencia is based off of the Italian Valencia orange. Mm. And it's a latte with a flavor, a syrup that's made with, you take cardamoms, fresh cardamom pods, and steep them. And then you add the sugar. And then you put in an orange flavor. I used to use actual rinds, but you should not do that in a syrup because it will rot.
Oh, so interesting.
I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
And it is basically a cardamom vanilla or a cardamom orange flavor with just a tiny bit of cinnamon in it. Mm. And then I do a really nice creamy foam because frothy foam is gross.
Okay. So creamy?
No.
I did not know.
That's gross.
Okay.
You want micro foam, which is very tiny, silky.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Learning new
and
things.
And then
here.
You do a little orange rind on top.
I'm just glad Crystal doesn't have the foam to like.
You know, what's really funny is back in the day, this is hilarious. So remember Hot Providence?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
So I wrote the coffee article in there.
Did you?
Really?
I'm going to have to go read it.
And
now.
If Nancy ever hears this, she will giggle. She'll be laughing to herself. She might laugh out loud, actually, because she actually edited me and made me sound much better than I would have on my own.
She's That's like, why you need editors.
Your grammar skills are a little lacking. Isn't that funny, though?
That's really
and I was even snottier in that comment. I was like, why would you bother drinking drip?
Oh, I drink drip.
Yeah, I do too now. Because at the time I had 3 kids and obviously way too much time on my hands. Yeah. Now I drink drip too.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay. So the Valencia, which also sounds really good for fall.
It's yummy.
But I love cardamom too.
I do too.
Cardamom. And then we have like, we have a brown sugar vanilla that we make.
That sounds good for fall too.
What's the other one? I have a chili mocha.
Ooh.
We steep Thai chilies and then add it with a syrup.
Is it pretty? Is it pretty heat intensive?
It is not bad.
Okay.
So even people who aren't like loving spice, could handle it. Yeah. Like I like spice, but my husband loves really, really hot stuff. So for him, it's pretty mild. Okay. For me, I'm like, eh, just enough. It's just a little kick.
Just enough.
And then we have a maple brown sugar, which is basically just like having waffles. It's awesome, actually.
All of those sound so good for the fall.
They do sound amazing.
Good. Yeah, because that's what's going to be there.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Nice. All right. Well, we should probably wind down, but is there any final thoughts or comments, Crystal?
No, I have no final thoughts. Is there a bed I could nap in? I have to go work on my trailer.
I know. We better let you go so you can go finish.
Oh, yeah. The never-ending job. Yeah.
Always a project. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Thanks for having me, though. This was really fun.
It was really fun, and I'm excited to try it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
We'll see you Monday.
Yes.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. One final reminder that the grand opening is actually happening today, 7 a.m. at the corner of A Street and Almond. So go check it out.
Thanks for joining us. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next week.